right, take your Bible and go to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13 is where we're going to be at this morning. Exodus chapter 13. God is just about ready to lead people through the wilderness, and he is taking them out of Egypt. Remember that Egypt was a place where these people had been at for quite a number of years. At first, it seemed like it was a very positive thing, and it was very helpful because God allowed the people in Egypt to be their needs to be met. Of course, they escaped famine, and then they were able to be taken care of. Remember the great plan that God gave to Joseph to be able to spare his people, and they were able to thrive there, and a number of people, 70 people, grew to probably and potentially a couple million people that were there. Pharaoh doesn't like that. Egypt doesn't like that, and they need to get rid of this people because they began to pose a threat to them. And so Pharaoh puts them into bondage, and he is going to make servants out of them and do some horrible tasks. God calls Moses out of Egypt, and we're not going to go back into that story, but out of Egypt to go into the wilderness to spend quite a bit of time, 40 more years to prepare to go back to Egypt and to then bring the people out of Egypt and to the promised land. As we look at this, I think that you can kind of tell where, if you know your geography a little bit, where we're at, the body of water to your upper left in the picture, then of course is the Mediterranean Sea. And so we have the Mediterranean Sea, and then we have on the right, on the southern part of that sea, we have that delta that you can kind of see, that fan that is there. And it would be on the eastern side of that fan where these Israelites were at. And so we're talking about somewhere right in this area where God brought the people out of Egypt. And of course, they're going to the promised land in this area right here. This is Israel. This is Israel. By the way, we ought to know our geography some. You ought to know where Israel is at. I'm very convinced that the people today that are speaking out against Israel, I'm guessing there's a number of them that have no clue where Israel is even at. My guess is they have no clue that they're God's people. They have no clue how God brought them there. They have no clue what's happened in history. They have just heard on TV that bad things have been happening over there. And so they interpret that as these people must be bad. I think that's about what they know. And you need to know. You need to know the reality of what Israel is. And so I want you to pay attention to God's land and understand it. And so God is going to take his people from this area, and he is going to direct them to the land of Canaan. And so we'll just keep this picture up here for just a moment. We're going to come back to it in just a minute. Look down at Exodus chapter 13. And so God, Pharaoh is not planning at all to let the people go. He doesn't want them to go. He wants to keep them. The people, Moses, commissioned by God, Moses and Aaron, go and plead to Pharaoh to let the people go. And they expect that he's going to let them, and he doesn't. And it takes 10 of God's plagues upon Egypt to finally to cause Pharaoh to say, okay, go, I can't do any more. And you remember that last plague? What was it? It was death upon the firstborn in all of Egypt there. And unless they obeyed God's provision of putting the blood on the doorpost of their home. And so then, if they did that, then they would be free, all the firstborn. And we're not only talking about people, we're talking about beasts as well. And so there was a lot of death that took place because a lot of people, in Egypt, the Egyptians did not obey. They did not believe God and they did not put it on. And so the Bible says that there was death in all the homes and houses there in Egypt of the Egyptians. And praise the Lord that the Israelites obeyed and they were then delivered. Okay, and so we're right here at this time where we get to learn about this deliverance and how God led them. And I just want you to look at this first verse. When I say first verse, we're in verse 17 of Exodus chapter 13. Okay, so find your way there, Exodus chapter 13, and let's start in verse 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them. Notice what he says here. Not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud, to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. God help me as I share your truth with these people. Lord, and I pray that we would understand that the hand of God that leads and guides is the same hand of God today in our lives. So God, help us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, go back to verse 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had led the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. All right, what are we talking about here? Okay. This right here, there was a path. In fact, I should have got some pictures of it. There's a roadway system. In fact, there's a couple roadway systems now in this ancient land. There was a pathway that would take And by the way, there were a number of countries that partook of this. We have the Egyptians, of course. We have the Hittites. We have the Phoenicians. We have the Persians. We have the Greeks that would use a system of roadways to get from one place to another. And here we have something that would connect Egypt to the Damascus area and all that was in between, and even beyond that. And so a road system that would connect Egypt all the way up to Damascus, which would be up in this area up in here. And so, in fact, I think Damascus is just written right there, right underneath what you can see. You can't, it's too small to see, but there we have Damascus up there. So from here to there. Now, it doesn't take a scholar to find out what would be the fastest way to get there. You know, as far as the crow flies, it would seem as though you would kind of just come up through here and you'd go this way. Well, there was actually a road system called the Via Maris, which is there, and I've seen pictures of it, and it is and been there. But there is a very clear and nice road path compared to going through just dry land. And so there was a nice roadway, stoned in many places, stones. It was wide, it was much easier, and it was well traveled, and so because of that, it would make sense that anybody wanting to travel up would want to go this path. And by the way, again, the path is, it goes up from here and it hits the coast and the sea, and it just travels right up through Gaza, right up the Mediterranean Sea. And then once you get here to Mount Carmel and Megiddo in this area, it kind of cuts over to the Sea of Galilee and then up and over to Damascus. There were some alternate places which would go kind of around some side roads like you have with any place. But for the most part, the pathway of the Via Maris was like that. Okay. Now, does that make sense? It'd be about the fastest way even for the nation of Israel. The Israelites, if they're going to go to Canaan, which Canaan is this area in here, if they're going to go here, I mean, why wouldn't you just do this? Now, in this verse, it's called the way of the Philistines, okay? The way of the Philistines be the fastest way. Now, what did God say, though, in this passage? Now, before we do that, before we close out the map, because I'm not going to keep this up here, because many of you will just look at the map the entire time, and I want you to hear the word of God. But there's another way. There's a pathway that would go this way and up and on this side of things. Does anybody know what that name is called? This is what we'd call the King's Highway. Okay, and by the way, the nation of Israel does join up on the King's Highway a little bit later as they go through Moab, and then they go up into Ammon, and then turning west to go across the Jordan River into Canaan. Okay, they would be on part of that King's Highway. But for many, many years, 40 years, they would wander through the wilderness. Now, I'm just going to put something in here to some of you that there's a lot of research out there today, and the traditional area, in fact, most of your scholars are going to tell you that the Mount Sinai and all of the wilderness, most of the wilderness wanderings took place in between this. And of course, we have the Suez Canal, and then we have the Gulf of Aqaba right here, which kind of come down and they meet into the what we call the Red Sea. Let me show you that really quickly. Okay, you kind of see that. The Red Sea is the bigger body of water, and these two fingers come up in there, okay? Now, again, is Egypt, and most people, most scholars would tell you that they crossed the Red Sea somewhere up in here that was very small, and then they come and they wander down here, and they would place Mount Sinai somewhere in here, and they just wandered all through here. And I'll know one day when I get to heaven which was the right answer, but there's a lot of evidence out there today that would say that these people actually traveled here and then crossed here, and Mount Sinai would be right here, and they did a lot of wandering through here. And as I have studied it, I think that I, at least at this point in time, I agree with that situation. There's been a lot of findings in that area. But it's amazing when you look at the pathway, and we'll get to that later. But the wanderings through this, in fact, if I could just trace, you know, I don't know if you can see this, but if you can just trace, you know, they kind of did this, and I'm going to kind of, it won't be perfect, but they came here, and they went down, then they went back up here, then they came over, then they came up, and they came back around. They did lots of ins and outs, and that was just to get them to Mount Sinai, and there was still lots of time. They did lots of this. Now, why do I share that? Because God led them through a perfect path, okay? And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. David, you can take this off now. And so understand that this is the easiest and the clearest way would have been up. And by the way, that Via Maris is, it's the way of the sea. That's what it means. It's the way of the sea. And it makes absolute sense that they would have been there. Now look back at verse 17. Notice what was said in verse 17. It says that God, he says, it came to pass when the Pharaoh had let the people go that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. Now, that way of the land of the Philistines is that area that we refer to as the Via Maris, or the way of the sea, okay? And so he didn't lead them through that, okay? He says he didn't lead them. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. And so here we have, do you see what the Lord is saying here? He is saying, listen, I would have led them in the normal way. By the way, you know, that would have been, that makes the most sense. It makes the most sense. Why? Because it was the closest, right? It was the easiest because there was a road system right there for them to go. It made the most sense that way. It was well-traveled with traders, and likely there were places set up with water. Likely there were places that they could trade for food. Likely there was protection overall because there was people. Now, obviously, this way was dangerous because the Philistines, as they got more north, were there, and it would be the way of the Philistines, the land of the Philistines. And so we've got two ways to look at this first point. And first, by the way, my first point is God does not always lead us through the shortest or the easiest path. Now, when you look at this pathway, it would have made the most sense for God to lead them that way, right? For the reasons that I just gave you. Seems like it would have taken, 40 years, nothing. They could have done it in a heartbeat. They could have done it in a few days, actually. They could have gone there. But God didn't take them. Why? There. And the reason is because God cares about people. God cares about you. Now, in a moment, we're going to see the alternative. He took them through the wilderness. And the pathway that I showed you, they went a long way to get a short distance. We'll talk about that wilderness in just a moment. But God does not always lead us through the shortest and easiest path. That would have been an easy path. Now, when we look at this point, there's two things to think of. We have an easy path. Easy, luxurious provisions don't always equate safe, though. They don't always equate, this is going to go great. In fact, sometimes we might take the easiest path and we might find out that easiest path was no shortcut, it was a long cut. Have you ever tried that? You thought you were taking a shortcut. You thought, I'm just going to go right up here. And 10 hours later, which was supposed to be a two-hour trip, you're still out there. And you say, why did I do this? Well, because the easiest path and what the path makes the most sense does not always work. In one case, we make two applications with this and understand that just because parts of life seem easy and luxurious and wonderful does not mean that it's the right way. God knew better. He knew better, and the way of the wilderness was going to be the right way. But in this case, it seemed that this was the right path. And folks, I want to encourage you, as God leads and guides you in life, don't underestimate the wisdom and knowledge of God, because God knows better than you, although your mind says that this is the best and easiest path. You know, in life, we think about what is going on in life, and it is clear to us, this seems to be the path of least resistance. And yet it ends up being very much lots of resistance. But we need to trust God where He takes us. Some of you are on pathways right now that you would say, why in the world is God taking me through this jungle of life? Why is He taking me through this wilderness? You know, I could have been there a long time ago. But folks, can I tell you, God knows best. And in some cases, although it's not the main point here, God knows that you shouldn't have been there because you might have been tempted with the luxuries. Folks, I want to tell you something. The luxuries of life don't always lead you to God. The things, the shortest shortcuts in life don't always take you to God's side. By the way, measure your life and the things you do always with what God says, and measure the decisions that you make. Is this going to take me closer to the Lord? Is this going to increase my relationship with God, or is it going to take me away? Just because something is shorter, just because something is easier, just because there's going to be provisions, you know, better provisions. You remember Abraham and Lot? There was one way that seemed better, right? I mean, Lot looked and he saw the land of Sodom, that it was well watered. There were people. He would have provisions. He would have green pastures for his flocks. There were blue creeks. I don't know. Is water blue, really? I don't know. I'm colorblind, so. There was clean water. And what did Lot say? He looked and he said, "This is where I want to go." Question. Look back on Lot's life now. Picture Lot and his family running, leaving back molested family members, taking some with, a wife turning into a pillar of salt. What do you think? Happy ending? We have Abraham, who wasn't attracted by the easy, prosperous way. So, listen, I'll take whatever pathway God has for me. And he took that pathway, and God blessed him beyond measure. Folks, in your life, it's not the easiest path. Those good things could turn out to be enemies. They could turn out to be devastating things. And as you seek the Lord, as you seek the pathway to living your life, I want to encourage you not always to look at the easy, not always to look at the prosperous, not always look at the glamorous. Don't always look at what makes most sense. God has a better pathway. But you know, there's a second application here, because this would be the way of the Philistines, and we know the Philistines are still the number one enemy of God's people today. But God knew something, and it's amazing how God, in his wisdom and his grace, gives it exactly when we need it. And the people would face the Philistines later, but God knew something, that these people would melt if they see the Philistines right now. They would see them later, but he said, no, it's not for now. Do you know that I praise God that he knows what we can handle now? And God says, I know that seems better, but you cannot handle that. Some of you pray daily for $1 million to show up in your mailbox. Now, I don't know if you do. You might want to stop. Because I'll tell you something, though, that net $1 million might be exactly what you need to be defeated. Do you know that if God thought and knew that $1 million in your mailbox would be the best thing for you, he would have given it a long time ago. And because it wasn't there this past week, means that it's not for you. In fact, it means that if you had it, you wouldn't be able to handle it. Do you know that our God is so knowledgeable and so wise that he knows exactly what you need and don't need? And he knew that these people, if they went up this way, they would see the Philistines and they would fear and tremble and turn right back and go to Egypt. And he knew that they couldn't handle it. And so what does wise Almighty God do? No, I'm going to take them through a better path, so that they won't turn around. Now you say, Pastor, come on, a better path? They went through dry, desert, barren. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But I'm just going to say right now, in a little bit advance, that wilderness is not exactly what we think. It might have been a wilderness everywhere they went, but I'll tell you, wherever those people went, the presence of God was there, and they were in the best place ever. And do you know, if they would have trusted God the way they ought to have been, they would have never lacked or wanted anything. at any point in time. Some commentators even go as far as to say the pathway they went had you know, and when they stopped, you know, there was a place where there was, I think, 12 wells, and they had every bit of water that they needed. They went to another place and they were sheltered. They go to another place and there was this. God had in the wilderness planned everything perfect for those people. Can I stop and make application to you? Do you know that although your pathway seems to be through the wilderness, God has every place perfectly planned out for you, and He knows what way you cannot handle right now. And that's why you're not going there. That's why He's not giving you that $1 million. That's why maybe He's not taken away that physical infirmity, because He knows that you're not prepared for it. Say, God, when will you? When will we be ready? When will I be ready? Leave that to God, because God is all wise and all knowing. God knew. And I find it interesting that we see there in verse 17, it says that although they were near, He said God led them, or up above that, God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines. Why? Because God knew. He knew. He knew what these people could and could not handle. He knew that the easy way wasn't the best way. He knew that the closest way was filled with things that would scare them to death and send that back. And God knows what you need. Folks, I want to tell you something. It's time that we trust God. It's time that we trust God in His wise and all-knowing path. That what God takes us through, He knows that this is the best for me. He knows that I can't handle anything else. And I'll tell you, when we do face the Philistines, or when we do face prosperity, God will have to give us grace to go through that. And by the way, He does need to give us grace to go through prosperity. You do a little bit of study on the people that won the jackpot, and you'll find out that most of those people end up in more debt, in more poverty, than when they started. I did a study on it one time, and it's a big percentage that people end up deeper into debt. Folks, God's Word says, I think somewhere in Proverbs, that you need to be careful of seeking treasure without working for it. Because those treasures, He says, and I don't have the verse, it's like they grow wings and they fly away faster than what they came. I did a study one time for a message, and I found like 10 people that won some big, huge jackpot. And I'll tell you that every time they won it, they ended up in more poverty. They ended up in, some people, they committed suicide. They had, you know, I remember one story that's kind of beside the point. One story, they went into this person's home, and they found it, and there were rooms filled with shoe boxes. You're like, what? Shoeboxes. They had every, you can't wear that many shoes. But you see, now listen. What's the point? God knows what we can't handle. God knows what we can't handle. And some of us are sitting here like this, and we say, why hasn't God blessed me financially? Because we cannot handle it. You know what? I'm in that same boat. You know what? It's time that we stop begging God for some things that maybe we don't need. And start thanking God for what He has given to us. God has put you in a great situation. It's the perfect situation. God knows that we can't handle it. And I'll tell you what, if God does give prosperity, it's because He must know that He can trust you. And I hope that we'd be proven to trust God with what we have, and be good stewards of what God has given. Because it's not your money, it's God's money. We need to be very careful with every dollar that God gives to us. And we can say the same thing with our health. You know, by the way, because of all that we've been going through this last 2.5 years, I'll tell you what, the other day I was daydreaming of what it would have been like to have a day with my wife healthy. And I'm sure some of you have the same thoughts. Do I remember what it's like to have a day like that? We think through. Don't take for granted your health. because we might not always have it. The ability to cook meals, to clean your house, to go out in the garden, to travel. Don't take it for granted, because we don't know how long we'll have it. But if God gives health, be a good steward of it. Be a good steward of it, because it may be the thing that brings you down. But on the opposite side, God knows the things that are difficult and tough. And in some cases, and that person that has the wealth needs God's grace to make it through without going off. How many of us would get that $1 million and go and spend it on shoes? You say, not me. No, maybe for you, it'd be something else. But how many of us would end up in a horrible situation? And God can't, you know what? And so God says, no, I don't think that's best for Sean. I don't think that's best for whoever. And so I'm going to give him better right now. And better sometimes is withholding. And we need God's grace. But in some cases, it's a lack. In some cases, it is trial. And in that, the answer is the same. God is going to give his grace through that. But it's time that we trust God through his leading and guiding. So where does God have you with your finances, with your health, with your job, with your relationship, with everything that God has given you? Where are you at? I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, God has given to you a perfect path as long as we trust him and we follow it. God is all-knowing, and God knows. And he doesn't always lead us through the shortest and easiest path. He knows what my response to the enemies would be. You know, I'm glad that I don't know tomorrow. Because tomorrow might be tough and I might run away. I'm glad I don't know tomorrow, because if there is prosperity, I might plan how I would spend it. He knows what you need. Sometimes God gives closed doors. We tend to look at closed doors as a negative thing, but brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. Closed doors can be tremendously wonderful. Why? Because it's like, man, when the door closes, I get to smile and say, I know that's not the way to go. Now, I don't know which way it is, but I know that. Brothers and sisters, we need to trust God at the closed doors. You know, he closed the door to the Via Maris for these people. And you know what? They could thank him for it. Because they would have, if they would have known everything, they would have turned around and went back. F.B. Meyer, great theologian and writer, I love to follow him, but he called this, you know, of the Israelites leading, you know, hindrances that help. We look at hindrances as keeping us back, but hindrances that help. Folks, we need to be thankful for the hindrance that helps. Delayed doors sometimes. Sometimes we get so, like, now, Lord, now, I want your answer now, but that delayed door might be your safety and keeping you from something that would come. How many times has God kept you from things that you would have gotten had you proceeded? You ever wondered what would happen to you if you'd have been on time? How many times have we griped and complained when that car in front of you is moving so slow? How many times have we complained that this person was late? How many times have we complained that this didn't happen when we wanted it? And all, you know, looking back, you know, one day I think we are going to get a perception that is going to be absolutely tremendous, that we look back on our life and watch all of the events, how God in his amazing love and wisdom kept us from things that we had no clue were right in front of our eyes waiting for us. And God said no to those things. I want to tell you, it's going to be a tremendous day that some of us probably will actually hang our heads in shame that we gave God such a hard time for the things that he did in our lives that we deemed as horrible, that he looked at was wonderful and preserved us and saved us and delivered us from so much. Folks, I want to tell you, it's time to open your eyes to God's goodness. That's how he leads, and we've got to see his goodness. You've got to have a different perspective in life. If this is what God gave today, then I can trust him for it. Do you understand that, folks? You can trust God for that. You can trust it. Because God only gives the best. And he gave the best to these people. And he led them. We also see in verse 17, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. You know, he leads us through a path of protection. You know, Egypt. And then, of course, now the wilderness, he says, but he put them through the wilderness. Verse 18, but God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. You know, that's interesting. You know, how could that be the best? You know, when you think of the wilderness, I've got a very vivid picture of the wilderness, not because I've been to the wilderness that they went through, but I've lived in the wilderness growing up in Wyoming. And I really mean that. Some of you die to go to Wyoming. I'll take you to my ranch and you'll say, why am I here? It's the most bland. I know. Every time I think that, I remember in college, I took a couple friends out to Wyoming, and I told them, I said, man, they wanted to go so bad. I said, you're going to be so disappointed. They went out there and they thought, this is the greatest thing ever. Of course, you know, when you grow up with something, you don't think, I'm looking around at all the sagebrush and wind, and I'm thinking, I don't know why you like it here. Now, I love Wyoming, but it's pretty dry. It's pretty basic. It's pretty sandy. It's pretty windy. It's pretty nothing exciting. Okay, I'm just trying to convince you of taking that trip out west. You know, you don't need to go. No, you should go, but I'm not convinced you have to go to Rock Springs, Wyoming, where I grew up. But I have a very vivid picture of what it's like to live in the wilderness, to live in nothing. And I'm guessing that my picture is not as drastic even. But here we have this pathway that God led them through the wilderness. Again, dry, empty. Where's the food? Where's the water? It's vast. It's huge, by the way. Huge. Even for a group of a couple million people to go through, they were a dot. A dot in the wilderness. Why would anyone want to go out there? And why would anyone say that this was the best place to go? Now notice in verse 8 what he says towards the end of the verse. He says, and the children of Israel went up. What's the next word in the King James here? Harnessed. What do you think that means? They went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Harnessed. And many people think that they were harnessed. That means their swords and their shields ready for battle. But now you remember, God took them away from the battles for right now. Now, they would face battle later when they would go up and enter into Canaan. But for now, they didn't need that. The word, harnessed here is a word that is well planned and detailed. And in fact, some say that the idea is in groups of five. Groups of five. Now, I'm not going to tell you for sure that Moses divided these, let's just say 2 million people or whatever. I'm not telling you for sure that they were in five groups. But it seems to indicate that the word that is used here is that they were a well-organized group that was adequately detailed, that was planned, that was thought through of how they would march, and the idea is they were prepared for marching. We are going to God's place. And it was well planned out. Do you know that when you look at the events in the wilderness, and again, it looked barren, but everywhere God had them go, he provided everything that they needed. In other words, God had planned the path perfectly. They were completely taken care of. They were detailed. They were thought through. They were planned out of the way they ought to go. God had it all taken care of. When you get here, I'll have supper waiting for you. When you get here, there will be water to drink. Listen, I've got it taken care of. You know, it's in this big rock. But it will be there. I'll tell Moses to do something and the water will come forth. I will take care of you. It doesn't look like it, but I will take care of you in this wilderness. Folks, can I say that the pathway that God will take you through is detailed and planned out? He's equipped us and planned us and detailed us out to be a marching army that is so perfectly given to perfection that everywhere you go, God will show up and give you everything that you need. That's the picture that we get here. They were harnessed. They were prepared for marching, planned by God. And our wilderness of wanderings are perfectly planned and detailed by God for our good and His glory. What does Psalm 37 tell us? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That word ordered is kind of the same idea. It's planned out perfectly. Strategically. God has everything thought through. God doesn't wake up with you tomorrow morning thinking, oh, we didn't account for this one. No, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And He's given to us His pathway, His treasure map, the Word of God, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished, harnessed unto all good works. God has so ordered your life. The wilderness wandered. You can't say that it's wilderness. It's God's perfect path. So God leads us through a path of protection. I like verse 21. Go to verse 21. We're going to skip over a few verses here about Joseph and his bones. And then verse 20, they get to these Sukkoth and then Etham. But in verse 21, I like this. Anything jump out right at the beginning of this verse to you that is very appealing? Isn't that good? The Lord went before. Growing up in the mountains of Wyoming, say mountains, I thought you said desert. Well, hunting in the mountains of Wyoming. I was always thankful. A lot of my memories with my dad involves the outdoors. That's just a lot of my memories. And one of the things that dad just always took us, he took us out in the mountains, and we were out there for long periods of time, and we'd go out there way in the dark, you know, nothing, can't see. And as a kid, you know, I'd be scared, but I always felt safe when Dad was in front of me. I always felt safe when Dad was behind the wheel. I always did. I always felt safe because he was that protective dad figure that was there, and I just thought that he was invincible, even though he was shorter than me and smaller than me, you know what I mean? But he never got cold. He was just tough. And that was my dad. And you wouldn't look at him today and think that, but that was my perspective of my dad. But I loved when he would go before me because, you know, a little kid that was scared of the dark, and that was me. I still don't really like the dark, but, I loved when Dad was going before me because I thought, hey, any wild animals, any bears, any whatever that's in front of me, Dad's going to scare away, and I'm okay. Folks, do you realize that in your pathway, God goes before you? He says right here in verse 21, and the Lord went before them. He blazed the trail. He's going before. He knows exactly where you're going. He's already been through it. He's already been through that. You know, you never enter into anything in your life for the first time. In other words, you are the first one to go through it. Like, oh no, we're blazing new trails here. No, the trail's already been blazed by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's already done it. He's been through it. He's experienced it. And the Scriptures say that He passed. He passed the test. He went through it. He has conquered everything. Folks, in your life, God has went before you, and He leads and guides. And He gives us two illustrations of how He does it here. He goes before us. We see that He goes before them in verse 21, by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. Here we see presence, protection, and even pursuit with the light, protecting them from during their travels throughout the hot day. They would have a cloud over them so that they could keep going, very physically. You know, you wonder, how could these people make it through the hot deserts of this, you know, Sinai Peninsula and all that's there? How could they? I'll tell you what, because they had a protection of cloud on top of them, and they could make it. How could they make such distance? By the way, they do make some great distances in some of these trips that they make. How could they do it? Because they could continue to march at night because there was fire in front of them. And he led them. And it doesn't matter what, you know, the cloud protected them from the rain. The cloud protected them from all of the elements. The cloud protected them. In fact, if you go into Exodus chapter 14 and go ahead, we see that the angel of the Lord, the Shekinah glory of God, protected them from even Pharaoh when Pharaoh turns and says, no, we're not going to let them go. And we see there that the cloud, I think it might have been the cloud that was behind them as a protection and as a shield from Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And God would continue through the cloud, protect them everywhere he would go, and the light would go before them to lead them everywhere that they would go. Folks, can I tell you that he's the same God that is doing that to you? There's a cloud about you that protects you. There's a light about you that lights the pathway every step of the way. And notice in verse 22, he took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. He didn't take it away. He left it there. They had him. Folks, we need to make sure that we don't go before the Lord. Don't try to pass him up. Stay where he puts you. Don't try to get out so quickly. God's got you in the right spot, right sandwiched in between his light and his cloud. Stay there. He'll lead, he'll guide, he'll protect, he'll shield, he'll do whatever it takes to get you to where you need to go. Don't go before him. Trust his protection. Is God going to protect me? Am I going to be in danger? Trust his protection. Trust his presence. Trust his leading light. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. God's got you in a wonderful place. You say, but preacher, I am going through tough times. You know, the nation of Israel was going through a tough time right now. But they were taken care of. Yesterday in our men's prayer breakfast, we were talking about a completely different verse. Proverbs 25 and verse 2 said, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. You know, it's God's glory for us in life when we can't see the end. It's glory to God when we can't provide the way. It's glory to God when we don't have the provisions. It's glory to God when we don't know what to do. Why? Because it's in this point when we step into this sweet spot of life, which none of us look as sweet. We call it bitter. When we get to a point in life where we say, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to turn to. I don't have any answers. God, this is bad. Why did you bring me here? It's in that very spot that the only light that shines in is light from God Almighty. And this is the spot where faith begins. Because now I've got to look to him for everything, because I have no answers. Folks, we don't like that spot, but it's the best place that we can be in. You see, you're looking at me and you say, I don't believe you, preacher. I don't believe you. It's glory. It's honor for God to conceal a matter. Why? Because we have to turn to him. And we see here that he is protecting and providing and leading and guide us everywhere we go. But he goes on in that verse in Proverbs to tell us that it's honor for kings or for us as men to search out a matter. And by the way, that searching out a matter is not just leaning to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledging him. And he shall do what? Direct our paths. You see, God is going to lead us and guide us. And God wants us to seek him. The best place that we can get at is where we have to seek him. We have nothing left of ourselves. We don't like this spot, but it's the best spot that we could ever be in. Folks, I want to tell you something. God leads us and guides us. My question to you is, are you trusting in God's leading? I'm looking around at different people. And any one of you, as I look at you, you could say, preacher, God's taken me through some tough times. God's the one responsible for this mess. My friend, you need a new perspective. God's all wise and all knowledgeable. And he knows exactly what you need and what you can handle and what you can't. He knows what will get you off and he knows what will get you there. But he has gone before and he's gone behind. And he's taking you through a place that seems like a wilderness. But it is equipped with everything you need so that in the end, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's the spot right here, patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, lacking nothing. You see, God is bringing you to himself. I'm reminded of the song, God Leads Us Along. God leads us along. I don't even know what the number is. And take your hymnals and turn there. 112. You're not going to sing this. Symphony and I have prepared this, and I'm going to sing it for you, but I want you to look at the words. I'd prefer you not even to listen to my voice. But I would prefer you to listen to the words. God leads us along. In shady green pastures, so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the water's cool flow bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along. Some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. On the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley, in darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some
come through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Those sorrows befall and Satan oppose, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads his dear children along. Some through the water, some sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long.
Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much that you lead us. Lord, sometimes it's tough. Sometimes we feel like we're in the dark. Many times we feel like we don't have answers. But God in heaven, we're so grateful that you know better. God, we're thankful that you know the pathway that we ought to take. God, thank you that you're protecting us before and behind. God, thank you that you keep us back from the things that we wish that we had. Thank you for closed doors, delayed doors. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that you go before us and there's nothing new to you. God, thank you for your hand that leads. Lord, thank you that you're the same God that led these people, the same God that will lead us today. God, may we trust you. May we lean on you. May we not question. May we joyfully go through life trusting in a good God. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen.